Welcome to the Writer's Reverie Podcast. I'm Catherine Ross, sharing with you the enriching power of story. This is episode number 11. Wherever you may be listening in today at the Writer's Reverie, think a cozy corner with a cup of tea and join me for some fair words, insights, all good things, and beauty. This month, we're setting the table for the future of our nation and Thanksgiving dinner. Have you put your salt on the table? My dad put salt on everything. True story. Growing up, my sister and I would be tasked with table setting for dinner. We placed the salt and pepper shakers directly in front of Dad's plate because, as sure as he would use his fork and knife, he'd add salt and perhaps a dash of pepper to the meal every time. Take Thanksgiving, for instance. Mom really knew how to season a turkey. She grew up on a chicken farm and learned all the ins and outs of poultry preparation from her mother. Each side dish planned for the holiday meal was perfectly prepared. The house smelled amazing all day. Every bite melted in your mouth. Every heart beat with gratitude to God and for the hands that cooked the meal. But still, no matter how well-seasoned Mom prepared her recipes, Dad salted every single thing on his plate. I've been pondering this idea of salting food to add flavor in these troublesome days through which we're living, especially when I read the comment threads on social media. I read a blend of salted comments, making truthful words flavorful. I read far too many hot with pepper comments, stinging injury with malice. I read both salty and peppery potentials tucked safely away in a corner pantry, adding neither flavor nor sting to the conversation, bowing out of the smorgasbord of opinion entirely, blocking, unfriending, retreating to a safe place, choosing not to play any part in these corrupt times at all. Or perhaps to pray. Commendable. I have a profound belief in the power of prayer. God's kingdom purposes are ultimately advanced in this world through prayer, especially in these critical times. Please do pray, fervently so, but do not neglect a liberal shaking out of the salt to heal the wounds of our nation and its people in the influential spheres where God has placed you. Alert, mixed metaphors on the horizon. Perhaps keeping our salt bottled up and secured away in the four walls of our pantry has contributed to the chaos of the moment. We close up within our safe church walls, praying, weary, and fearful of the thought of boldly engaging the distasteful dish of the world in which we live, in which we work, play, socialize. A world where every day our lives intersect with government at varied levels. Academic institutions, business concerns, economic choices, entertainment venues, and media outlets forming the minds and hearts of a society. Historically, these cultural bastions have been the front lines in molding the identity of a people for good or evil. We wrestle principalities and powers for dominion there, but often grow weary of the battle. In war, things get messy. They often don't fit the holy standards our consciences can control, keeping strictly to the pantry shelf. We remove ourselves from the physical front lines of cultural engagement, leaving salty brothers and sisters who are flavoring in the fray with poor support. Why is that? The religious leaders and Pharisees of Jesus' time missed him completely, so sure of what the Messiah would look like when he came, arrayed in their self-righteous image. They mocked him and stirred up the masses against him, and the groundswell of humiliated sinners who found relief and hope in his words. Many of these sinners, becoming salt, spent themselves in flavoring their world unto death. I am better for their salty seasoning, in their season. In the message, Matthew 5:13 says, Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Well, from what I've observed, those good salts who do shake themselves into the fray, contending for the faith on questionable and contentious battlefields, are subject to both friendly and enemy fire. It grieves me to say so, but there you have it. The battle is fierce out there. Even the pious throw peppered stones in judgment rather than running to undergird our salty soldiers, flavoring the fight with a healing ingredient. It is so easy to get swept up in distractions and blinded by a bland thought recipe void of salt. Our founding fathers quite had their fill of this just 100 years after the Reformation on October 31st, 1517. By 1617, many Christians were fleeing religious persecution in Europe, praying for the Lord to open a door to deliverance. He did. It was called America. This month, we mark the national holiday of Thanksgiving with imagery of pilgrims and Indians and all manner of pumpkin spice whatnots. But do we stop to remember those brave, salty folks who, in the fall of 1620, prior to disembarking the Mayflower cargo ship that brought them to the shores of Cape Cod, did an earth-shattering thing? The leaders of this new colony of Christians understood the necessity of creating a governmental contract that would establish law and order amongst them, while ensuring their freedom of self-government under the governing authority of Jesus Christ. When was the last time you pondered the words of America's first governmental document, the Mayflower Compact, and understood its relation to salting this land at the outset with the gospel of Jesus Christ? In ye name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign lord, King James, by ye grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, kind, defender of ye faith, and having undertaken for ye glory of God, and advancements of ye Christian faith, in honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant ye first colony in ye northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually, in ye presence of God and of one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic, for our better ordering and preservation, and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereof, to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submissions and obedience, in witness whereof we have hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod on the 11th day of November, 1620. The precepts of the Mayflower Compact have remained a permanent constitutional principle of our national identity. For the first time in human history, our founders had the opportunity to craft governing dictates of a nation from the salt of Judeo-Christian values and principles. This guaranteed the claim that America would be a nation protecting liberty and justice for all. Until recent years, that is. You see, the messy truth is that liberty and justice for all, a nation's identity, its prospering in purpose, and protection of a varied society in all spheres of its culture, is not easily maintained apart from the vigilance in every generation. The enemy of the cross is ever on the prowl to trample salt underfoot. As Christians, we are not of this world. Yet we are called to live in this world as the God flavor of the earth. Closed up and discouraged from openly salting society, fearful to fearlessly engage society, we politely bow to the false narrative in America of separation of church and state, as though it meant separation of church and life. This has been distinctly so in church history, in the spheres of the creative arts, academics, government, and entertainment, which wield great power in captivating and discipling the minds and hearts of a people. The 20th century saw a marked loss of God flavors in these realms, especially in the last quarter century. Is it any wonder our youth skip cheerily to the tune of the Pied Pipers of pop culture, looking to the world for role models in developing their worldview and creative gifts God bless them with? I have lived through the days of Mayberry to the precipitous cliff's edge of today. I am a witness to the decline of our culture and the sidelining of the church. For all our trendy mega churches filled, why is our culture not redeemed? For all our parachurch organizations and missions efforts around the world, why is the world not redeemed? Perhaps it is because we missed where the real battlefields are for discipling cultures, in the halls of the arts, human government, academics, and media entertainment. And it doesn't take but a few influencers with slick tongues and false doctrines in those spheres to transform a society. We've all witnessed that in the last 5 decades and at warp speed in the last 8 years. Are we really so surprised that our Christian liberties in these United States, won at such a great cost in human lives, are trampled underfoot by a confused populace, including many in the church? What a gift was delivered to us 240 years ago when we gained our independence from tyranny and laid a governmental foundation unlike nothing ever known in history. Judeo-Christian principles informed our laws, affording religious liberties, freedom of conscience, the sacredness of property, and individual empowerment with the responsibility of self-government. While we allowed our national laws to be misinterpreted, misrepresented, and hijacked by few, we sought numbers and seats filled in buildings, thinking we were winning the world for Christ. But I wonder, had we salted the cultural smorgasbord before us with greater boldness, knowing that baked potatoes require a more generous salting than a gravy-soaked slice of turkey, might the conversation of the day be different? Perhaps not. In the end, I have come to this conclusion. Regardless of the scales measuring how much of our salt has been sprinkled or trampled underfoot, God will accomplish the things he has said that he would. The Thanksgiving dinner plate will be consumed, and as pristine as that table looked before the guests sit down to say grace and dig in, you can be sure it will be a filthy mess to clean up in the aftermath of the meal. Maybe that is why, before the Lord instructs us to get out there in the world and salt everything, he warns us about what the life of an active salt shaker will be like. Matthew 5, verses 11 to 13. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Thanks for joining me today at the Writer's Reverie Podcast. I'm Catherine Ross. I hope you'll visit me blogging online at thewritersreverie.com. And don't forget to stop over at my books and writing website, Pageant Wagon Publishing, where we are passionate advocates for the light of literacy through story, through his story, and the impact that intelligent, inspirational reading can have on your family's quality of life and learning. In my upcoming podcasts, I'll explore topics like this through the power of story and family literacy discipleship. ministering biblical truths to all ages, all at the same time. Subscribe online to thewritersreverie.com or pageantwagonpublishing.com. The podcast link will be delivered straight to your email inbox. Until next time, I pray you've been enriched through my fair words and insights, telling stories that lead to all good things and beauty. The Writer's Reverie podcast theme is titled Oak Park, composed by Rick Dickert, provided by freesoundtrackmusic.com. Today's podcast, Salt on the Table, is also featured in the November 2016 online issue of Ruby Magazine, now also available in print. I'm a contributing writer on the Ruby Magazine blogging team. Visit www.rubyforwomen.com to read this and more online, and order your print copy today on the link in this post. Enrich your life through this inspirational Christian woman's magazine featuring devotionals, book reviews, home and garden tips, recipes, and more. Subscribe free at rubyforwomen.com. The Writer's Reverie Podcast, Episode 11, Salt on the Table, by writer and storyteller Catherine Ross, is produced and sponsored by Pageant Wagon Publishing's LLC. Copyright November 2016, all rights reserved. Pageant Wagon Productions is the home of the family literacy books of Pageant Wagon Publishing, serving Christian women, families, and homeschool classrooms with enrichment studies such as the Fable Springs Parables High Concept Picture Books and Study Guide Series, the Clementine Jones Drama and Daring Do Books, and the all-new releases of Pageant Wagon Productions Theatrical Drama Scripts for production in churches, schools, and community theaters. Visit pageantwagonpublishing.com to learn more.